In addition, the network services do the operation of the network as a whole. Fifth part of Part 8, Unit 1, Usenet. The Unix systems acquired modems and automatic telephone dialers. It became possible to copy files automatically between distant machines using UUCP, in bracket Unix to Unix copy, bracket closes, program. In the UUNet, the only service offered is the electronic mail. A companion network called Usenet started at Duke University, and the University of North Carolina also offers an unusual service called Network News. Network News is divided into hundreds of news groups on a variety of topics. There are groups for each popular programming language, for each common microcomputer, and for several operating systems. Usenet users can subscribe to whatever groups they are interested in. Sixth part of Part 8, Unit 1, CESnet. To provide networking facilities to the computer science community as a whole, National Science Foundation set up the CESnet 1. CESnet is not a real network like the ARPANET, but a meta network. It uses transmission facilities provided by other networks and adds a uniform protocol layer on top to make the whole thing look like a single logical network to the users. 2. Physically, CESnet consists of 6 components. 1. ARPANET. 2. Public X.25 network. 3. Phone net. It is similar to Usenet, except all traffic is from to and from CESnet relay, whereas with Usenet there is no centralized control. 4. CY Press. Duplication of ARPANET technology on a lower budget. 3. The basic service provided to all CESnet sites in electronic mail using the ARPANET protocols and formats, except for the phone net hosts, file transfer and remote login are also possible. 7th part of Part 8, Unit 1, BitNet. The BitNet, because it is time network, was started to create a university network like CESnet, but for all departments, not just CS. 1. BitNet is similar to CY Press, with each BitNet site leasing a line to some other site, but the BitNet hosts themselves do the communication. 2. BitNet uses a protocol and S/W donated to it by IBM that is not compatible with other OSI or TCP/IP. 3. The basic BitNet service is file transfer that includes electronic mail, remote job entry. Unit 2. First part, physical layer. Second part, transmission media. First part of second part, magnetic media. Second part of second part, twisted pair. Third part of second part, baseband coaxial cable. Fourth part of part 2, broadband C axial cable. Fifth part of part 2, baseband versus broadband. Sixth part of part 2, fiber optics. Seventh part of part 2, line of sight transmission. Eighth part of part 2, communication satellite. Third part of unit 2, analog and digital data. First part of part 3, analog signals. Second part of part 3, digital signals. Third part of part 3, data and signals. Fourth part of unit 2, multiplexing. First part of fourth part, frequency division multiplexing. Second part of part 4, time division multiplexing. Fifth part of unit 2, modems. Sixth part of unit 2, codecs. Seventh part of unit 2, switching techniques. First part of part 7, circuit switching. Second part of part 7, message switching. Third part of part 7, packet switching. Eighth part of unit 2, the medium access sublayer. In this, dynamic channel allocation in LANs and MANs. Ninth part of unit 2, LAN protocols. First part of part 9, persistent and non-persistent CSMA. Second part of part 9, CSMA with collision detection. Third part of part 9, collision-free protocols. fourth part of part 9, BRAP, broadcast recognition with alternating priority. Fifth part of part 9, MLMA, the multi-level multi-access protocol. Sixth part of part 9, binary countdown. Seventh part of part 9, limited contention protocols. Eighth part of part 9, the adaptive tree walk protocol. Ninth part of part 9, EARN protocol. Tenth part of unit 2, IEEE 802 standards. 11th part of unit 2, fiber optic networks. First part of part 11, fiber net 2. Second part of part 11, S/net. Third part of part 11, FAS net and express net. Fourth part of part 11, data kit. 12th part of unit 2, satellite network. First part of part 12, FDM. Second part of part 12, TDM. Third part of part 12, SPADE system. Fourth part of part 12, disadvantage of TDM, FDM, SPADE. 13th part of unit 2, packet radio networks. First part of part 13, the University of Hawaii Aloha system. Second part of part 13, design issues for packet radio networks. Unit 2, first part, physical layer. In the physical layer, the nature put a limit on what can be set over a given channel. Whatever is sent, no transmission facility can transmit signals without losing some power in the process. Sometimes the amplitude is reduced and sometimes it is distorted. Usually the amplitudes are transmitted undiminished from zero up to some frequency FC in bracket HZ. With all frequencies above this cutoff frequency strongly attenuated. In some cases, this is a physical property of the transmission medium, and in other cases, a filter is intentionally introduced into the circuit to limit the amount of in bracket scarce bandwidth available to each customer. In this unit, we shall see how the data is transmitted both in analog and digital and examine the various transmission media. Later, we shall get introduced to medium access sublayer and LAN protocols. Part 2, transmission media. The purpose of physical layer is to transport a raw bit stream from one machine to another. Various physical media can be used for the actual transmission. First part of part 2, magnetic media. One of the most common ways to transport data from one computer to another is to write them into magnetic paper, magnetic tape or floppy disk. Physically transport the tape or disks to the destination machine and read them back in again. While this method is not as sophisticated as using a geosynchronous communication satellite, it is often much more cost effective, especially for applications in which high bandwidth or cost per bit transported is the key factor. For a bank with gigabytes of data to be backed up daily on a second machine, it is likely that no other transmission technology can even begin to approach tape for performance or cost effectiveness. Never underestimate the bandwidth of a station wagon full of tapes going on the highway. Second part of part 2, twisted pair. Although the bandwidth characteristics of magnetic tape are excellent, the delay characteristics are poor. Transmission time is measured in minutes or hours, not milliseconds. For many applications, an online connection is needed. The oldest and still most common transmission medium is twisted pair. A twisted pair consists of two insulated copper wires, typically about 1 mm thick. The twisted form is used to reduce electrical interference to similar pairs close by. The most common application of the twisted pair is the telephone system. Twisted pairs can be used for either analog or digital transmission. The bandwidth depends on the thickness of the wire and the distance traveled, but several megabits per second can be achieved for a few kilometers in many cases. Advantages: technology and standards are mature and stable for voice communication. Telephone systems which use twisted pair wiring are present in most buildings and unused pairs usually are available for network connections can be installed relatively easily. Is relatively inexpensive. Disadvantages: sensitive to EMI and eavesdropping, especially unshielded. Unsuitable for very high speed data transmission. Some data networking standards for TP are new and not entirely stable. Third part of part 2. Baseband coaxial cable. Another common transmission medium is the coaxial cable, known to its many friends as just coax. Two kinds of coaxial cable are widely used. One kind, 50 OHM cable, is used for analog transmission. A base-based coaxial cable is used for digital transmission. A coaxial cable consists of a stiff copper wire as the core, surrounded by an insulating material. The insulator is encased by a cylindrical conductor, often as a closely woven braided mesh. The outer conductor is covered in a protective plastic sheath. A cutaway view of the coaxial cable is shown in figure 1. Are possible on shorter cables. Longer cables can also be used, but only at lower data rates. Coaxial cables are widely used for local area networks and for long distance transmission within the telephone system. Here is a picture of coaxial cable cutaway view. Copper wire inside, second insulating material, third braided outer conductor, and lastly protective plastic covering. There are two ways to connect computers to a coaxial cable. The first way is to cut the cable cleanly in two and insert a T-junction, a conductor that reconnects the cable but also provides a third wire leading off to a computer. The second way is to use vampire tap, which is a hole of exceedingly precise depth and width drilled into the cable terminating in the core. Into this hole is screwed a special connector that achieves the same goal as a T-junction but without the need to cut the cable in two. Although straight binary signaling is sometimes used in coaxial cable, example 1 volt for 1 bit and 0 volts for 0 bit, this method gives the receiver no way of determining when each bit starts and ends. Instead, a technique called Manchester encoding or a related technique called differential Manchester encoding is preferred. With Manchester encoding, each bit period is divided into two equal intervals. A binary 1 bit is sent by having the voltage be high during the first interval and low in the second one. A binary 0 is just the reverse, first low and then high. This scheme ensures that every bit period has a transition in the middle, making it easy for the receiver to synchronize with the sender. A disadvantage of Manchester encoding is that it requires twice as much bandwidth as straight binary encoding because the pulses are half the width. Differential Manchester encoding is a variation of basic Manchester encoding. Advantages: technology and standards are mature, which promotes compatibility and interoperability of different vendors' equipment. Resists EMI better than twisted pair. Supports higher bandwidths than twisted pair. Heavier coax cable is relatively sturdy and resists rough treatment. Disadvantages: coax cable like TP is susceptible to EMI and eavesdropping. Some coax cables are heavy, bulky, or expensive. Fourth part of part 2, unit 2. Broadband coaxial cable. The other kind of coaxial cable system uses analog transmission on standard cable television cabling. It is called broadband. Since broadband networks are standard cable television technology, the cables can be used up to 300 MHz in bracket and sometimes up to 450 MHz bracket closes, and can run for nearly 100 km due to the analog signaling, which is much less critical than digital signaling. Depending on the type and price of these electronics, 1 BPS may occupy anywhere from 1 to 4 Hz of bandwidth. Typically, a 300 MHz cable will support a total data rate of 150 Mbps. Broadband systems are normally divided up into multiple channels, frequently the 6 MHz channels used for television broadcasting. Each channel can be used for analog television, high quality audio, or a digital bit stream at say 3 Mbps, independent of the other channels. Television and data can be mixed on the same cable. Fifth part of part 2, baseband versus broadband. 1. Baseband is simple and inexpensive to install and requires inexpensive interfaces. It offers a single digital channel with a data rate of about 10 Mbps over a distance of 1 km using off-the-shelf coaxial tube. The most data communication application baseband is perfectly adequate. 2. Broadband requires experienced radio frequency engineers to plan the cable and amplifier layout and to install the system. Skilled personnel are also required to maintain the system and periodically tune the amplifiers during its use. The head end also requires careful servicing because a failure of the head end brings the network down. The broadband interfaces are also more expensive than the baseband ones. 3. Broadband offers multiple channels, although usually limited to 3 Mbps each, and can transmit data, voice, and television on the same cable for tens of kilometers if need be. For most applications, the additional bandwidth of broadband does not justify its complexity and expense, so baseband is more widely used. Sixth part of part 2, fiber optics. Recent developments in optical technology have made it possible to transmit data by pulses of light. A light pulse can be used to signal a 1 bit. The absence of a pulse signals a 0 bit. An optical transmission system has three components: the transmission medium, the light source, and the detector. The transmission medium is an ultra-thin fiber of glass or fused silica. The light source is either an LED light emitting diode or a laser diode, both of which emit light pulses when an electrical current is applied. The detector is a photodiode which generates an electrical pulse when light falls on it. By attaching an LED or laser diode to one end of an optical fiber and a photodiode to the other, we have an unidirectional data transmission system that accepts an electrical signal, converts and transmits it by light pulses, and then reconverts the outputs to an electrical signal at the receiving end. Currently available fiber optic systems can transmit data at about 1000 Mbps for 1 km. Fiber optic links are being installed for long distance telephone lines in many countries. Fibers can also form the basis for LANs. Although the technology is more complex, the basic problem is that while vampire taps can be made on fiber LANs by fusing the incoming fiber from the computer with the LAN fiber, the process of making a tap is very tricky and substantial light is lost. Advantages: immune to interference or detection outside the cable, so fiber optic cable is an extremely reliable and so secure transmission media. Supports very high bandwidth. Disadvantages: network interfaces and cables are relatively expensive. Connections require high precision manufacturing and careful handling. Relatively complex to configure and install. Seventh part of part 2, line of sight transmission. Although many data communication systems use copper wire or fiber, some just send the data out into the air. In particular, transmission by infrared lasers, microwave, and radio does not require any physical medium. Each of these techniques is well suited for certain applications. Putting a laser or infrared transmitter and receiver on the roof of each building, or maybe just pointing them out a window, is inexpensive, easy to do, and nearly always legal. This design yields a hierarchical network, with the backbone being the laser or infrared network between the buildings. Each building's LAN is attached to the backbone by a gateway. Laser or infrared communication is fully digital and is highly directional, making it almost immune to tapping or jamming. On the other hand, rain and fog may interfere with the communication depending on the wavelength chosen. For long distance communication, microwave radio transmission is widely used as an alternative to coaxial cable. Parabolic antennas can be mounted on towers to send a beam to another antenna tens of kilometers away. This system is widely used for both telephone and television. The greater the range with a 100 meter high tower, distances of 100 kilometers between towers are feasible. The advantage of microwave is that building two towers is frequently much cheaper than digging a 100 kilometer trench, laying it up again. Microwave propagation is also affected by thunderstorms and other atmospheric phenomena. Advantages: potentially much less expensive than digging trenches, etc. High bandwidths are possible. Disadvantages: require licensing and approved equipment. Susceptible to external interference, jamming and eavesdropping. Eighth part of part 2, communication satellite. Communication satellite can be thought of as a big microwave repeater in the sky. It contains one or more transponders, each of which listens to some portion of the spectrum, then rebroadcasts it at another frequency to avoid interference with the incoming signal. The downward beams can be broad, covering a substantial fraction of the Earth's surface, or narrow, covering an area hundreds of kilometers in diameter. At an altitude of approximately 36,000 kilometers above the equator, the satellite at the same rate as the Earth under it. An observer looking at the satellite in a circular equatorial orbit sees the satellite hang in a fixed spot in the sky, apparently motionless. Having the satellite be fixed in the sky is extremely desirable, because otherwise an expensive steerable antenna would be needed to track it. With current technology, it is unwise to have satellites spread much closer than 4 degrees in the 360 degree equatorial plane. With a spacing of 4 degrees, there can only be 36/4 equals 90 geosynchronous communication satellites in the sky at once. Two or more satellites could occupy one orbit slot if they operate at different frequencies. To prevent total chaos in the sky, there have been international agreements about who may use which orbit slot frequencies. Advantages: propagation delay and communication cost are independent of distance between sender and receiver. No intervening ground facilities are required between transmission points, even between continents. High bandwidths are possible. Earth stations can be fixed position or relatively mobile, even an aircraft or marine vessels. Satellites support narrow or wide beam path, so transmission can be relatively select or broad-based. Disadvantages: requires licensing and approved equipment. Susceptible to external interference, jamming and eavesdropping. Require expensive modern space technology. Long distance introduces noticeable delay compared to direct line. Third part of unit 2, analog and digital data. Analog data can take any value on a range. The time of delay represented by the ends on the face of a clock is an example of analog data. First part of part 3, unit 2, analog signals. Like analog data, analog signals range may take any value throughout their range and change smoothly from one value to the next. Analog signals may be transmitted over wire and through the air. Periodic analog signals, commonly called analog signals, are described in terms of amplitude, frequency and phase as shown in figure 2. Here is a figure showing one cycle, amplitude and time. Advantages: analog signaling is sometimes considered advantageous because cable television network equipment can be used to set up a network and provide greater bandwidth for a large complex LAN. Analog signals suffer less error from attenuation over a distance, so the network can cover a greater area without the need to regenerate signal. Disadvantages: by setting up a network that can cover a greater area, the maintenance requires radio frequency engineering capabilities. Second part of part 3, digital signals. Like digital data, digital signals have two distinguishing properties. First, they may take only a limited number of discrete values, often only two. Second, their signal values transition almost instantaneously from one state to the next. The information in a digital signal depends on the state of the signal during a certain time. Therefore, digital sending and receiving stations must have signal clocks that are synchronized. Their clocks run in baud, or the number of times per second the state of signal is set or read. Unlike analog signals, digital signals may be transmitted only through wire. Advantages: digital equipment is usually simpler and cheaper. Digital signals usually suffer less error from noise and interference. Disadvantages: digital signals suffer more from attenuation than analog signals over comparable distances. Digital signal is shown in figure 3. Here is a figure: digital binary data and signal. Third part of part 3, data and signals. It is important to understand that both analog and digital signals can carry analog or digital data. Examples for each possible combination of data and signal types are presented below. Analog signals carry digital data. For example, tone dialing phones send digital data, means numbers, using analog signals, in bracket touch tones. Modems also send digital data between computers using analog phone signals. Analog signals carry analog data. For example, commercial radio stations transmit analog voice and music data on analog carrier signals using amplitude modulation, AM, or frequency modulation, FM. Digital signal carry digital data. For example, the links between a computer terminal and its host exchange digital data using digital signals. Digital signals carry analog data. For example, music compact discs, CDs, encode the digital values, the amplitudes and frequencies of sound detected each instant by microphones. CD players decode the recorded digital values and create the analog music. Fourth part of unit 2, multiplexing. Multiplexing is used to combine and transmit several low bandwidth channels across a single high bandwidth channel. Demultiplexing separates out the input channels after transmission. The multiplexer and the demultiplexer use the same rules, except that the demultiplexer applies them in reverse of the multiplexer for combining and separating signals. On the transmission line, four pieces of equipment that multiplexes and demultiplexes is sometimes called a mux. The two basic types of multiplexing, frequency division, FDM, and time division, TDM. First part of part 4, frequency division multiplexing, FDM. FDM uses separate analog carrier signals to re-establish multiple channels across the media. FDM can utilize any modulation system for any channel. Each channel centers on a different carrier frequency. For example, a CATV coax cable with a bandwidth of about 500 MHz can carry more than 80 television channels of 6 MHz bandwidth each. Further, multiplexed within each 6 MHz band are the channel's own audio subcarrier, video subcarrier, and cooler subcarrier, plus a guard band on each side separating it from the other FDM channels on the cable. These channels function almost like separate wires or circuits. Second part of part 4, time division multiplexing, TDM. TDM systems interleave pieces of slower channels into a single faster channel and then reconstitute the slower channels at the other end. The data can be bits, blocks of bits, bytes, or larger blocks. Time division is the only multiplexing technique that can be used on a baseband line. It could be used on an individual channel in an FDM system. The time divisions can be fixed when the muxes are set up. Such TDM systems are sometimes called synchronous TDM because the pieces of each input channel are always the same length and come at the same time in each frame on the multiplexed channel. The muxes synchronize and all transfer is fixed. Many different synchronous TDM systems are in use. Fifth part of unit 2, modems. A modem, in bracket modulator / demodulator, bracket closes, is a specific type of DCE installed between a DTE and an analog transmission medium such as a telephone line or microwave transceiver. A modem modulates or mixes digital data from a DTE onto analog carriers, encoding the O's and I's with the carrier for transmission. A modem on the receiving end then demodulates the analog signal, extracting the digital data for the destination DTE. Modems are useful for data transmission over relatively long distances because the digital system from the transceiver within the DTE is not powerful enough to travel very far without significant loss of data. Another time to use modems is when more than one communication channel is to be used on the same medium. In this case, modems can be selected to use different carrier frequencies. Electronic modems, while useful in a variety of applications, are not necessarily required to connect two devices. For relatively short distances, for example, within a small office, a simple electrical connection can be made using a null modem cable. A null modem cable connects the transmit circuit from one DTE to the receive circuit of another DTE. A simple electrical connection can be made using a cable wired in what we commonly call a null modem configuration. A modem may mix carrier depending on equipment specific functions. Sixth part of unit 2. Codecs. A codec, in bracket capital CODR / DCEODER, is used for coding analog data, for example, a voice conversation, into a digital signal. The digitized voice data can then be transmitted, for example, via a modem. The receiving codec, if used, reconstructs the analog data. Because it uses digital transmission techniques, codes offer the advantages over analog transmission, in bracket, cheaper, less susceptible to noise, bracket closes. Furthermore, digitization of voice data for use within computers is becoming increasingly popular, as in voicemail, telephone systems and speech recognition for interactive computer programs. The specific methods used for the analog to digital conversation within a codec are not discussed in this course. Codecs are available as off-the-shelf hardware, and implementers only need to deal with the digital signal at the output. Seventh part of unit 2, switching techniques. In large internet works, there may be multiple paths linking sender and receiver in much of the same way that trains through various communication channels. There are three typical switching techniques available for digital data traffic. First part of part 7, circuit switching. Circuit switching is a common technique that directly connects the sender and the receiver in an unbroken path. Telephone switching equipment, for example, seeks a path that connects the sender's telephone to the receiver's telephone by making a physical connection from one wire to the next. When this type of switching technique, once a connection is established, a dedicated path exists between both ends until the connection is terminated. This circuit switching in a network operates much the same as the telephone system. A complete path end-to-end must exist before communication can take place. The computer initiating the data transfer must ask for a connection to the destination. Once the connection has been initiated and completed to the destination has been initiated and acknowledge that it is ready and willing to carry on a transfer. Advantages: no congestion because the communication channel once established is dedicated. Virtually no channel access delay because the channel is dedicated. Disadvantages: inefficient use of the communication channel because the channel is not used when the connected devices are not using it. Can be more expensive than other methods because a dedicated channel is required to each connection. Possible long wait to establish a connection during which no data can be transmitted. Second part of part 7, message switching. With message switching, there is no need to establish a dedicated path between two stations. Rather than a station sends a message, it appends a destination address to the message. The message is then transmitted through the network in its entirety from node to node. Each node receives the entire message, stores it briefly, and then transmits the message to the next node. This type of network is sometimes called a store and forward work. A message switching node is typically a general purpose computer. The device needs sufficient storage capacity to buffer the incoming messages, which may be quite long. A delay is introduced using this type of scheme due to the time required to find the next node in the transmission path and to queue and send the message. Advantages: line efficiency can be greater than with circuit switched systems because more devices are sharing network bandwidth. Traffic congestion can be reduced because messages may be temporarily stored en route. Message priorities can be established. Low priority messages can be delayed en route so that higher priority messages can be forwarded first. A positive effect of having messages stored for transmission: one message can be sent to many destinations. Broadcast addresses can be appended to the message, specifying that at some convenient or logical place in the network, the message is transmitted to more than one destination. Disadvantages: message switching is not compatible with most real-time applications. Application with a relatively high rate of interaction may suffer from the store and forward imposed delay. For example, message switching cannot be used for voice connections. Store and forward devices are often expensive because they must have large disks to hold potentially long messages. Third part of part 7, pocket switching. Pocket switching can be seen as an option that tries to combine the advantages of message and circuit switching and to minimize the disadvantages of both. There are actually two methods of pocket switching: datagram and virtual circuit. In both pocket switching methods, a message is broken into small parts called packets. Each packet is tagged with the appropriate source and destination addresses. Since packets have a strictly defined maximum length, they can be stored in memory instead of on disk, which saves money. Access delay is therefore minimized because memory access is much faster than disk access. Datagram. Datagram packet switching is smaller to message switching in that each message is a self-contained unit with complete addressing information attached. This fact allows datagrams to take a variety of possible paths through the network. However, since the message is broken into multiple parts, sending packets via different paths adds the possibility that packet order could not get scrambled. Therefore, a sequencing number is added to each packet. This packetizing and sequencing is accomplished by a packet assembly and disassembly device, PAD. Datagrams are sent over most appropriate path. Virtual circuits. Virtual circuits involve the establishment of so-called logical connections between sender and receiver. A logical connection is formed when a sender and a receiver exchange messages at the outset of a conversation. The messages allow the sender and the receiver to agree and conversational parameters such as maximum message size, path to be taken, and other variables necessary to establish and maintain conversation. Virtual circuits usually imply acknowledgements, flow control, and error control. So one can often say that virtual circuits are reliable. The primary difference between datagram packet switching and virtual circuit packet switching is that virtual circuits entail establishing a logical connection. Datagram service is more flexible but inherently less reliable. Datagram service can also be faster because there is little administrative overhead. Advantages and disadvantages of packet switching. Packet switching is cost effective because switching devices do not need massive amount of secondary storage. Packet switching offers improved delay characteristics because there are no long messages in the queue and because switches can be tuned. For the optimal delivery, given the maxi packet size. Packets can be routed around problems such as busy or disabled links. Packet switching can minimize link efficiency by making optimal use of link bandwidth. Protocols for packet switching are typically more complex and can add some initial costs in implementation. Packets are more easily lost when transmitted over non-dedicated paths, necessitating transmission of some data. Eighth part of Unit 2, the medium access sublayer. In any network, there exists a collection of machines intended for running user, i.e. application programs. In order to get a clear idea, we follow the terminology used by ARPANET. In ARPANET, these machines are called hosts. These hosts are connected by the communication subnet or subnet. The job of subnet is to carry message from host to host. In case a WAN subnet consists of transmission lines and switching elements, the switching elements are called IMPs, interface message processors. There are two types of design for communication subnet. One, point-to-point channels. Two, broadcast channels. In point-to-point type, the network contains numerous cables, each connecting a pair of IMPs. If two IMPs that do not share a cable wish to communicate, they must do this indirectly via other IMPs. Broadcast systems have a single communication channel that is shared by all the machines on the network. Packets, in bracket messages, sent by any machine received by all the others. The addresses field can be used to identify the destination. In broadcast network, the key issue is how to determine who will be allowed to use the channel when there is competition for it. The broadcast channels are also called multi-access channels or random access channels. Why and where is MAC used? The MAC sublayer, medium access control sublayer, is used for LANs, where multi-access, in bracket broadcast, channel is used for communication. But most of the VAN uses point-to-point communication, with exception to VAN, which uses satellite networks. To sort out the problems in the broadcast channel networks like channel contention, MAC sublayer is used. The protocols designed for MAC sublayer is aimed at allocating the single broadcast channel to the competing user in an efficient manner with minimized or nil data loss. LAN, MAN and WAN. Based on the location of the machines in a network can be classified as local area network, metropolitan area network and wide area network. In case of LAN, the machines are located in the same building or same campus and is owned by a single organization. Here data transfer rate is in order of MBPS, million bits per second. The LAN normally uses broadcasting channels for communication. The wide area network usually spans over countries and the data transfer rate is lower than LAN. More than one organization will be the owner. The WAN is also termed as long haul network. The third type of network is MAN. MAN uses the same technology of LAN but covers an entire city. Cable television is one example. WAN uses public telephone networks for communication, but LAN designers can lay their own cables. The LAN cables are reliable when compared with WAN. The error rate in LAN is very much has when compared to WAN. So, error checking is needed in almost all layers in WAN, but it is enough to perform it in higher layers for LAN. This simplifies the lower layer protocols. Multiplexing. To allocate the single channel to competing users, multiplexing tactics are used. There are two different categories of multiplexing schemes: frequency division multiplexing and time division multiplexing, FDM and TDM. In FDM, the frequency spectrum is divided among the logical channels, with each user having an exclusive position.